Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a terrific Tuesday today. It's actually nice and warm down here in Florida. We got a little tropical storm yesterday, so we got a good amount of rain, which we actually needed. Got everything good and watered, and now it's nice and sunny again today. So we'll see what the weather does through the rest of the week. And how are you doing, Dad, today over in Greece still?
Absolutely wonderful, Austin. The weather here has been stunningly beautiful, been a little windy. I actually got to meet a Greek shipping magnate today who's based out of London now because of the sanctions that have been put on Greece. And he was there with his wife, and I got to talk to him here at the hotel a little while. And he was completely and totally awake. It was funny because I'd say something, he'd say something, and neither one of us wanted to, like, spook each other as far as what we knew. And finally, he started talking about the Catholic Church. He started talking about what's going on with London. He started talking about Trump. He started talking about what's going on with Russia. And the good news is we were in full agreement on everything we talked about. He's Greek Orthodox, which basically means that it's like the Catholic Church, but they don't recognize the deity part of the Pope. In other words, they don't believe he's God's divine messenger, and he doesn't answer for all that kind of stuff that the Catholics believe. And so it was very interesting. He was talking to me about his faith. He was talking to me about how you have to have a relationship with Christ and you have to be a Christian. I mean, it was a very, very interesting conversation. And then we basically started talking about what was going on with the World Bank, and he was saying how they're the ones that are responsible for what's happening to Greece, and how the international banking cartel is running the world. And so he was just absolutely on point with everything. Then I spoke to another girl. She was here with her family, the nanny that we had met yesterday. We spoke to the mother, who's like 30 years old, and she basically has two young children. She's from Austria. Her husband is from Holland. And I asked them, I asked her, where do you take the kids to church? And she said, well, we don't go to church. And I said, well, weren't you raised as a Catholic? She goes, well, yes. I said, well, you don't take it from anywhere? She goes, no, we believe they can choose anything they want. If they want to be a Muslim, they can be a Muslim. If they want to be a Hindu, they can be a Hindu. If they want to be an atheist, they can be an atheist. And I looked at her and I said, well, is that what your parents did to you? She goes, no, my parents took me to church. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says you need to train up a child in the way they should go, and want to be old and not depart from it. And I said, doesn't it make sense that you need to at least train them in the, you know, religion of your ancestors, of your family, and let them make a choice of what they want to join later on? She goes, well, I really haven't really thought about that because we really don't go to church in Europe. And guys, this is what's happened. This is how they secularized it. This is why the boys and the girls can easily convert to becoming Muslims in Germany, including the women can start producing Muslim heirs in Europe now, because they really don't have a Christian value whatsoever. It's completely and totally secularized. So Austin, it was a very big awakening for me today to realize just how lost these people are, and how even though they're lost, they're not even trying to fix their kids. I mean, I told her, I said, look, I said, if you don't want to go to the Catholic Church because of the pedophilia and all the other stuff that's caused the Catholic Church to be such a mess here recently, I said, I got that. I said, but there are a lot of other good Christian churches in Holland that you can go to, that you can build a faith for the children and at least teach them what the Bible says. And Austin, she wasn't any more interested in that than me jumping off the ledge of a building. She had no interest in it at all. I mean, nothing.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, this is unreal that this place has changed this much. And I'm talking, you know, this is the secularization. This is the Rothschild media cartel that's come in here and done the same thing to these people as it's done to the people in the United States. In fact, let me read you this real quick. We have so many people now that are drug addicts in the United States. We'll talk about that and talk about Christianity in a minute. But I pulled this article off of Yahoo. Brad Parton sent it to me, and it's by Andrew Seaman, and it says that more than one-third of the U.S. adults in the United States were prescribed opiates in 2015. One-third of the entire population. This is crazy. This is from Reuters Health. The United States needs to curb the excessive opioid prescribing and improve access to pain management. Researchers found that one-third of U.S. adults prescribed medication opioids in 2013, and it goes on to say that almost 100 million people received opiates in the United States per year right now. People who are between the ages of 18 to 49, men of college graduates, were less likely to have been prescribed opioids, and those who are older female or not college graduates. I mean, this is nuts that we have this many people in the United States that are using opioids right now being prescribed. No wonder we have such a huge heroin problem in the United States. and such a massive amount of heroin coming in out of Afghanistan to feed one-third of the population who are going to be easily addicted if they're not careful on these products. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely right, and that's been one of the biggest tools that the globalists have used with the opiates as far as getting people hooked on the prescription versions of them and then allowing the CIA to bring in the massive amounts of heroin. I watched this TV show the other day, Shooter, not the movie Shooter. There's a new version that came out now that basically is a TV version of the movie Shooter with the Marine sniper, and he's got a flashback back to when he was in Afghanistan, and they raid this place, and they find literally like 500 kilos of heroin in this building, and so they pull it outside and they're going to burn it all. And these are all like Marine grunts, special ops, and they're going, okay, we need to burn this stuff. We don't know what to do with it. Then finally, one of the Afghanis, they have basically zip tied on the ground. He goes, don't burn that. He goes, that's your heroin. And they looked at him. They said, what are you talking about? And then the mom that was there, they had her zip tied. She said basically in Arabic, shut up. Don't say anything else. Well, finally, they grab this kid, and they get him to talk. And she goes, basically, the individual that they were talking about was one of the heads of the CIA operations in the Middle East. And so they went ahead and burned it. And it's the whole show's turned into this giant issue now where it blatantly showed it that the CIA is running the heroin through Afghanistan, and that basically the Afghanis know this. They're making the heroin for the CIA. They blatantly know they're doing that, and so they were so confused. They said, "This we're making money on this. Why are you going to burn your heroin? This is your heroin." And the grunts are like, "Wait, this isn't our heroin. We don't know what you're doing with this." And so the whole show's escalating into this now, but there's been little cues is what we've seen over the last couple of years, and now we've gotten, you know, all types of confirmation from talking to a lot of people that have been over there involved in that, and that's what they've done. And now, as I talked about before, months ago, that now we've had reports that they're taking a lot of the raw heroin and the opium from the Middle East, and they're having basically underground labs or pharmaceutical labs over in India and other countries manufacture basically generic opiates so they can send them to the United States, so then they can dump them on the black market unregulated through basically the USDA or the DEA and dump them on the market like an atomic bomb so they can continue to feed and grow this giant opiate epidemic in the United States. So it's really getting wild here, but that is one of the biggest tools the globalists have been able to use, is to keep people hooked on a lot of these pills for long extended periods of time, because then they don't care about trying to get the truth about what's going on, trying to get the Federal Reserve kicked out of the United States, trying to figure out that Russia doesn't need to have sanctions on it. As long as they can get their next batch of pills or their next batch of heroin that week, that's the only thing they're focused on. So you're exactly right that the secularization of Europe and the United States now is definitely in full-blown force by the globalists.
Well, no, and this is exactly, you know, what we've talked about for years now, Austin, because if we can get enough people addicted to opiates in the United States, they become victims. This is what John Rappaport was on with a few months ago. That's what he said. When you have a victim status mentality, you don't care about uprising. You don't care about having to fix the country. All you want to do is make sure you get your next fix. That's all you care about.
Yep.
I mean, it's nuts. And the same thing with all the people that are suffering with arthritis or suffering with all kinds of other diseases. If you're in enough pain, you really assume that victim status, and you don't want to be involved in anything else because, well, don't you know, I've got this problem, and I can't be involved in any of this. I just need to make sure the government gives me my free Obamacare every month, make sure I can go ahead and get my medicine because I've got to have some help. That's the mentality, son. By the way, here's another really good, interesting article. And it's from, it doesn't have an author. I said, well, Nate Brown wrote it. He goes, Wire. He says, Christians, it's time to tuck tail and run or be bold in the word. The anti-Christian America is here. This is good. It says, tonight on The Wire, Christians in America are recognizing the new American reality that Christianity is no longer the dominant religion. Barack Obama took care of that. Rather, atheism is taking root. And with that comes the destruction of morals, the destruction of potentially an American for our children, and that's what it's going to be for the United States if we can't change this. Because, God, it's really important that we understand that if we don't do something as Americans and be bold in our – I mean, you know, like a couple of years ago, when Austin and I started the show. My goal in life wasn't have to be, you know, doing a show every day at the age of 62. That wasn't my goal. My goal was to become more active for the Word of God and to help people to the best of my ability and to make people realize that I was willing to sit around and not say anything about what was going on. So we decided and we chose to do this. And, you know, this is what we all have to do. I mean, I'm talking to people today about Jesus. I'm talking to people today about politics, about what's going on in the world. I'm being bold in another country telling these people, hey, there's some issues that are going on. Now, what was interesting, the guy who was the Greek Orthodox, he had a big meeting. This is the shipping magnate. He had a big meeting in L.A. last week, or 2 weeks ago, he said. And he was in a big thing there. There's like 40 or 50 people. And he said two gay guys walk in, and they had just adopted a little baby boy from Mexico. And they're showing everybody this baby like it's a prize package, right? And look what we did, look what we did, look what we have, look what we have. And finally they looked at him and they said, what do you think? And he goes, I think it's wrong. And they said, what do you mean? He goes, look, he goes, you're making that little boy think that, you know, men need to be together and men can't make babies. He goes, it doesn't make any sense. He says, how in the world are you going against God's order like this? He goes, you raising a child in an environment like this, making them think that this is okay, this is normal, is an abomination. He goes, I don't care about you being queer. It means nothing to me. You care less. He says, I don't care what you do. He said, but when you drag a baby into the middle of this, it really creates a lot of problems in that child's life because that child suddenly does not understand what in the world proper role modeling is all about. So he goes, I think it's wrong. I don't think you should be allowed to do it. Oh, and then they got, and then they said to him, they said, you must be a Christian. They said to him. And he goes, yeah, matter of fact, I'm a Christian. What does that have to do with anything? I don't care if you're, I don't care if you're queer. What does that have to, he says, you, this is out of the natural order. Men don't make babies. It's not okay. And, but he said he was not the highlight of the, conference. He said everybody got mad at him because now he's in LA talking like this and he's a very wealthy man. So he's in LA talking like this, but they don't really know what to say to him because he's being vocal, but he's not being anti-gay. Does that make sense? And so, it was interesting. But what's your first story? What's your next story, Mike?
Well, that ties right into that, man. As far as what we see now with CNN, they love to peddle their fake news, but now they've really reached a whole new low in fake news. Now they've now claimed today that a transgender man just gave biological birth to a baby boy, reporting the title, a transgender man living in Portland, Oregon has given birth to a boy with his partner of 7 years. Now, of course, the article is a complete and total lie. This is a biological woman who now has basically said she is a man over the last couple of years and is giving birth to a baby boy. Adding to the gender confusion that CNN loves to do, they now claim that being a biological woman is really just a gender assignment at birth. It has nothing to do with any type of biology at all. It's simply just a name they give you at birth, and they imply that a person can instantly change their gender at will. This is what they wrote in here at the beginning of this. This is just ridiculous. This is from CNN, and I quote, Reese, who was assigned the female gender at birth, posted a video in March explaining his decision to carry a baby as a transgender man. I'm okay with my body being a transgender body, he said. I'm okay being a man who has a uterus and has the capacity and capability of carrying a baby. Now, of course, you guys know there's no such thing as a man with a uterus. This is a female. She has always been a female. She will not be able to reverse that in her DNA that she is a female. She has just chosen now to say she is a man and go on some type of hormone replacement therapy, I guess, and now has been able to get pregnant, and now she had a boy, and she's claiming to be a transgender man. This, again, ties right into what you're saying, Dad, is this entire confusion. Now, I can't even imagine the utter chaos that's going to be going on in that child's brain as he gets older now, as not only does he have a dad that's gay, essentially, or not gay, I don't even know how that works, and another mom that says she's a man, that's telling everybody she's a transgender man that actually birthed him. Now he's going to be telling people, oh yeah, my dad and my other dad, but my dad's a transgender dad and he gave birth to me as a transgender dad. This boggles my mind. Just it's lunacy. It really is lunacy. It's so over the top, it's almost incomprehensible. You can't even figure it out. It's so stupid. But yeah, these guys are chewing this stuff up and feeding it to the doggone population through the media, through this fake news, and expecting everybody to eat it, to the point now that we really have a huge percentage of the population that believes this is not only normal and okay, but this is actually natural, that you can have a man that has a uterus inside of him, and that's just what he is. He's a transgender man that's having babies, Dad. This has gotten so bizarre, but again, you see what the mainstream media does to push this agenda even further, and it's quite nauseating to me.
I loathe the gay Kenyan. Loathe him. Loathe. And that's about as hard a word as I want to use. Loathe. L-O-A-T-H-E. Loathe. I loathe the gay Kenyan. Loathe him and loathe the tranny wife thing he was married to. Loathe it all. Loathe what they did for 8 years in this country, dragging us down into this ditch. Loathe it. Completely loathe it. I loathe George Bush Jr. for what he did with 9/11 and bringing us the Patriot Act and trying to put us into a fascist dictatorship. I loathe that. I loathe all of them. I loathe the weirdo Clintons that now have hundreds of people in their dead body count who've worked for them, who can't explain how all these people keep dying around them, and all the women he raped, and all the women she raped, and all the sick stuff that we've been exposed to because of these stinking weirdos. The best president I've ever known in my lifetime was John F. Kennedy. They killed him. The second best was Ronald Reagan. They tried to kill him. I mean, this is what we've come down to now in a country, that we have weirdos and perverts pushing weirdo pervert agendas into the mainstream like it's okay. Well, I've got news for everybody listening today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, period.
Yep.
I will not okay this weird stuff. Austin, that whole story was so confusing, it kind of hurt my brain to think through what you were saying, because it's so incredibly stupid. I mean, this is a mental illness these people have. It's a mental illness. These people are sickos. They want to change their biology, then they want to go back to having babies, they want to be back to being guys, they want to be back to being transgender. Bunch of stinking weirdo psychopath weirdo sickos. And if they want to have this weird stuff in their head like Bruce Jenner did, I could give a rat's bottom what they think or what they do. Just don't let me know about any of it. What a bunch of weirdos. And here's another weirdo for you. Marie Claire Ryder Wine. The Dunkirk movie is an excuse for men to celebrate maleness. And now she is absolutely slamming the historical movie Dunkirk, which had some historical truth to it, some they twist a little bit, but she's saying now that they didn't have any blacks in the movies, they didn't have any whites in the movies, in these lead roles. I got a news flash. There weren't any blacks or whites at Dunkirk in any kind of concentration. They weren't there. So trying to put them into the movie and writing them into a script is changing history. I mean, I cannot believe this. These rabid feminists are now using historic war films to have a dig at men. I mean, this is like a brand new low. I mean, it's a brand new low. It is a brand new low. These stinking weirdo feminists, they can't even... why don't they go do something with their lives besides this weird stuff? And I am absolutely blown away that these women actually get press coverage on any of this stuff. What do you think that they don't like Dunkirk because it celebrates maleness and oneness and courage and these guys trying to stay alive? I mean, unbelievable. She said it basically screams men only. The prepackaging of the film, the general vibe, the tenor of the people applauding, it just screams men only. Given that the packaging of the films remain historically accurate, could only be nothing more than a bunch of men on a beach. Okay, it's unclear how it could have been packaged. I mean, guys, what an absolute albatross these people are who come out and say jump on this. What do you think, Oz?
It's offensive, man, especially to a lot of the people. I mean, what were they going to say now? The entire history of Normandy was just too maleness. It was racist. you had Army, you know, the U.S. Army storming Normandy, and they died, and that's just, you know, we're celebrating maleness because of that. The feminist culture that's been exploding over the last decade is an absolute just nauseating to me. I mean, it's nauseating. It really is. All they want to do is make everything, it's the same things go back to the next story, the last story I just said. All they want to do is completely flip everything upside down. You have the feminists that say you can't be a man, you can't do anything as a man, or else you're some type of like male chauvinist pig. If now you have women that are saying they're a transgender man that are having kids, and they're saying I'm a transgender man having a child now, I'm a man with a uterus inside me. All this stuff, as you said so many times, Dad, is to completely twist everything and dump it on its head. Everything good is bad. Everything bad is good. This is the direction they're going, and you're absolutely right. Obama did a lot of this, because when he started pushing the whole transgender thing, when he did that crap at the White House, when they legalized gay marriages and he did the whole White House in rainbow colors, that was a joke. I was at that point. That was one of the first times in my life that I was actually embarrassed to be an American citizen, that the President of the United States lit up the Oval Office with rainbow colors to signify his basically acceptance of gay marriages. First off, as Dad said, if you're gay, you want to be gay, I don't have a bit of problem with that. You want to do it? Good, we gay. It's not my problem. Everybody has a right to do that. Everybody has a right to live their own life. But do not try to come at me and force your opinion, your ideology, and your weird behavior and make me have to accept it. And not only that, make me have to pay for it through my taxpayer dollars, like they tried to do with Obama allowing transgenders to enter the military and provide them all with transgender reassignment surgery if they enlisted in the military. That was nuts to me. I couldn't even understand how you could legally do that. First off, as Dad just said, this is a mental disorder. You are either a male or a female at birth. If you have that confusion, then you need to go see a shrink. You really do. You need psychological help. And right, exactly. And I'm okay with that. You know, if that's what you need to do to work your way through it, everybody's got their own battles they have to fight. That's okay. But don't sit there and say, I'm going to go in the military because I'm so mentally confused and I'm going to have the government pay through taxpayer funds to basically chop my appendage off that I have to try to make me a female or whatever reverse you want to go. And I mean, I saw a thing the other day online and it said, so you're basically wanting to take the individuals with some of the highest suicide rates with mental disorders, such as transgender individuals, and you want to stick them in the military and hand them a firearm and tell them to protect this country. That is an absolute failure waiting to happen. And so that's why I was so happy when Trump came out and basically said he was going to have absolutely no part in that as being president of the United States, that it was not cost effective, nor is it morally right, nor is it effective as far as being the U.S. military. So, yeah, a lot of weird stuff going on with that, Dad. Also, too, I want to address something with statins now. An individual who's basically a Cleveland clinical cardiologist, Steve Neeson, he basically wrote an article now, and it's egregious. And you guys already know my take on statins, you know Dad's take on statins. This guy, Steve, is basically bought off by the pharmaceutical companies, flat out, completely bought and paid for. Now he's basically gone and publicly criticized and blaming millions of people who are now suffering from side effects of statins and the millions of people that claim that statins have side effects and the researchers that have shown statins have side effects and basically saying that it's their fault and that it's a deadly internet-driven cult for turning patients away from statins. Statins, as you guys already know, are one of the biggest medical frauds on the market. We've gone into detail on that. You can read and listen to all the articles we have, listen to the shows. We've gone into detail on that. And there's even another study we talked about, I think a month ago, from the American Journal of Physiology that showed statins are causing severe cognitive decline and degenerative disorders. The impact on their biological properties of stem cells provides a novel explanation for their adverse clinical effects, the study found. This stuff causes dementia. It causes all all types of issues with the organs. It causes all types of issues with mental acuity. No question about it. Well, this guy now, being just a blatant, you know, do-boy for the drug industry, has received grant money from Amgen, Pfizer, and AstraZeneca to do research and write papers in favor of their drugs. And he has the nerve now to publicly put out an article basically saying that all the side effects that patients experience from statins are concocted and imagined in their own heads. Nissen is angry that more people are becoming aware of what statins do to their own body. That's what's going on. He said right here, and I quote, "We are losing the battle for the hearts and minds of our patients to websites developed by people with little or no scientific expertise who often peddle natural or drug-free remedies for elevated cholesterol levels." Yes, if he's referring to healthmasters.com, the fact that we produce some of the highest quality natural supplements that are drug-free in the world, and you can lower your cholesterol with Cholesterol X, cod liver oil, black seed oil, vascular relaxant, a plethora of different natural supplements that not only get your cholesterol in a healthy range if you're trying to do so, they make you feel better and have more energy at the same time. So yes, if that's what he's talking about, then we fit in that category, except he's talking about it in a derogatory manner, basically saying that we have absolutely no idea what we're talking about. He even said here that these patients could face deadly consequences because they are listening to the internet-driven statin deniers. We're statin deniers.
Statin denier.
That's what they're calling us, statin deniers. So, I mean, don't look at the hundreds of peer-reviewed studies that show statin drugs cause damage and all type of cellular issues in the body. Don't look at that. Don't talk to the millions of people that apparently are crazy in their head now for thinking that statins cause them side effects. And by all means, don't look at the warning on the side of the box of the drug you're taking that blatantly says all these side effects can happen when you take the drug. Don't listen to any of that. Listen to this blithering idiot, Steven Nissen, when he wants to tell everybody we're statin deniers now. I thought that article was hilarious, Dad, but it just goes to show you the fake news and the propaganda that the media is trying to push out on top of us is some really aggressive rhetoric right now. But I'm really glad that we're able to hopefully wake a lot of people up with this show so they don't take any of this garbage that individuals say like this for any truth whatsoever.
Newsflash, newsflash. Ted Brower is a statin denier.
I'm good with that. That'd be me. That would be me. Oh, God. Here's another article. The CNN host, Trump has now said this is that the people, Trump has won because of racists like you. This is what he's saying. This is the CNN host. This is CNN is still angry. The CNN host, Fareed Zakaria, nothing Muslim about that, who still dines with former president, gay Muslim president, with his transgender wife, had previously said multiple times that Trump is a BS artist. In his latest offering, Zakaria argued that a stupid, racist, homophobic, and sexist majority of the Americans are fed up of being lectured by educated professionals who live in cities and who have cosmopolitan views like him. I've got to repeat this, okay? I've got to repeat this because this is so stupid. And the way he said it, this is a quote. He argued that a stupid, racist, homophobic, and sexist majority of Americans are fed up by being lectured by educated professionals who live in cities and who have cosmopolitan views like him. Okay, you're right. We are sick of being lectured by you guys, but we don't think you have cosmopolitan views. We think you're a bunch of perverts. How about that, perverts? How about the sickos? There's a part of America that, here's what he said, there's a part of America that is sick and tired of being told what to do by this overeducated population that Hillary Clinton perfectly represented. That's why they're sticking with him, Zakaria argued. The CNN host then suggested that Trump tapped into the underlying bigotry of most Americans, labeling it as toxic energy. He knew that the election of a black president had stirred. Here we go, going black again. He knew that the election of a black president had stirred a kind of ugly racial, you know, animosity, a small subset but he knew how to get to them. A real sense of cultural alienation that the older white, non-college educated Americans have the sense that because their country is changing because of immigrants, because maybe blacks are getting, rising up to a kind of central place in society, because of you, you know, gays being afforded equal rights, quite frankly, a lot of working women, he added. He makes sure he gets them all. He gets the blacks, the gays, the Muslims, and the working women, and the lesbians, and everybody else. And, that, I mean, this is just, unsurprisingly, he didn't touch upon the scandal-ridden campaign of Hillary Clinton, the Democratic Party, their labeling of Americans as deplorables, and the embracing of ideals that most Americans find repulsive. God, you know, these guys are so out of touch. And listen to me. I know that blacks were held down in this country. I mean, we all know that. And all of us who are really Americans who are trying to stop that have done the best we can to stop that. We have, all of us. I know that women had to fight for a right to vote and have equal representation. I got that, okay? I've got no problem with that as far as that, too. I understand all that, but those aren't those days anymore. And we, as long as we keep dragging this racial stuff in, this homosexual stuff in, and this unbelievably, you know, these unbelievably horrible feminists into these conversations with the mainstream, we're not going to have a consensus in the United States. It's going to create further division. And it's kind of like this with me. You know, if the radical feminists, you know, number one, I hate to say this, and gosh, don't get mad at me. Oh, gosh, don't get mad at me, what I'm going to say. 99.99% of these women are unbelievably ugly. I mean, I'm talking like mean-looking ugly. I'm talking ugly women. I'm talking ugly women that are unbelievably mean, that are unbelievably bitter, unbelievably hatred, have unbelievable hatred towards men. And the problem is when you try to talk to them and be nice to them, most guys have never been nice to them, so they absolutely loathe men. They loathe guys, and they end up in a situation where they're just embittered. It's like this that weirdo, wacko college kid that I talked to the other day who went berserk when I said that you know, Hillary was the witch of Benghazi. You know, here's the thing. And I said this the other night, I'm going to say it again. Bush was a fascist. Both Bushes were fascists. Clinton was a whoremonger, a raper of women. I mean, you know, the other Bush was a CIA guy, and I personally believe he was involved in the assassination of Kennedy along with a lot of other people. I mean, I'm not calling my own party, you know, peaches and cream here. I mean, I'm not even a Republican anymore. I'm registered as a Republican because I have something to vote for that way, but I'm more of a libertarian. I could care less what these guys do. Just leave me alone. Let the free economy dictate. And just don't stifle me with your rules and regulations and try to force me to accept your values. I don't want to do that. I've got my own values. I've got my own beliefs. I've got my own views. I mean, I read a lot of information all of the time, and it gives me the opportunity to develop my own opinion on things that I have opinions on. So that's okay. And I don't care if you have your opinion on your weird stuff either. I don't care. Just don't try to force your opinions on me. And for once in y'all's life, you can possibly do it. Try to have a legitimate discussion using facts instead of emotions and name-calling. That's the thing that you guys don't get. Every time you get mad about stuff, you start screaming and yelling and cussing and carrying on and going berserk. Yep. Like volume is going to change the fact that you're a nut. Okay? The volume will change the fact that you're a nut. Nothing's going to change that. All right? So just get a handle on that. All right? Austin, what's your next story?
No, you are right about that. I've seen it happen numerous times, and with the liberals, and it's almost like, especially with the female, lesbian, feminist liberals, as soon as they have an argument with you or a disagreement over anything, it's like the volume notch goes up 20 decibels, 30 decibels, then 40 decibels, and it's all out screaming, yelling, flailing of hands, stomping up and down, pitching a fit like they're a 2-year-old. And it's almost humorous to a point, especially with some of the videos you've seen with some of these girls that are just out of control, and even some of the guys. I mean, it's just, you're just like, dude, can you not have a normal argument? Can you not have a normal debate and a normal discussion? Do you really have to act like a straight juvenile when you're losing the argument? But that's kind of where they go with this. I mean, it is what it is. So, like the girl you talked about yesterday, freak out.
They have marches now where they wear vaginas on their heads. Vaginas on the head. Remember what Rush Limbaugh. Remember what Rush Limbaugh said. This is a loose quote. Feminism is an excuse for non-attractive women to try to become relevant in society. I mean, it's just, and I don't mean that in a bad way because you know Rush is kind of saying that, but he's kind of right. I mean, these women, it's like I said on Hagman a few weeks ago. A lot of times you get these gay guys that are absolutely, they hate Christianity. They hate Christianity because they've had so many Christians tell them they're going to hell. They're just, they're mad, right? So rather than telling these people they're going to hell, you know, just need to tell them, hey, look, you know, maybe you need to think about what you're doing and see how it's affecting other people and see if that's okay. I mean, you got to think through this stuff that you're doing. I said, because this isn't okay because, you know, it's affecting entire generations to come. And so then, at that point, you can witness to them. You can work the best you possibly can. You can treat them with kindness and compassion because these guys are messed up in the head, especially these transgenders. They're transgenders. They're like crazy, okay? And so the craziest thing about all of this stuff is that when you start going in there and condemning them and screaming at them as a Christian, we don't need to do that. We say we can pray for you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And just walk away. I mean, if they start chasing you down, screaming and yelling and cussing, then you say, look, you got more problems than me. I mean, you're going to hell. You could do something like that. But don't start off with that. That's not the first line you say to them. It's not okay to do that because it just doesn't work. I mean, it just doesn't help anybody get anything done. But now I'm not saying you should never say that because it's still the truth. And the truth will set them free, and maybe that'll shock them enough to make them realize that maybe they need to do something besides go to hell. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about it. I mean, handling the situation as Christian as possible is always the best option. Sometimes that can be very difficult, but that's definitely the best way to go. Also, too, in other news with Amazon now, is they're just the giant Amazon octopus squid. Seems like they continue to grow on a daily basis.
Rothschild.
Not only, I talked about yesterday or a couple days ago, that they're pushing into the healthcare very aggressively, groceries now with Whole Foods. Now they're starting to show that they want to completely dominate the media business, and that's also a priority now. Not only is Amazon competing against digital media companies for ad revenue, they're challenging Hollywood studios now for box office dominance. They're gobbling up video distribution deals from cable companies, and they're launching social media and messaging networks to compete with other major tech platforms. Amazon is reportedly working on not one, but two social media networks. The first one, Spark, which is a shopping social network, which will rival Pinterest, and Anytime, a standalone messaging app, which could rival WeChat, Facebook, and Snapchat. Advertising revenue is skyrocketing. Amazon made nearly $1.4 billion in advertising revenue last year. That's more than Snapchat, Yelp, or Pandora. Per eMarketer, they're stating that it's slated to grow its ad business by another 30% this year to $1.8 billion by the end of the fiscal year. They went on to say here that Amazon has poured in $4.5 billion into content this year, including $12 million on Sundance to beat out studios for Oscar-winning and Emmy-nominated content. So now they're doing basically studios. They're sponsoring movies now so they can be in Hollywood as big as possible. They're on to say it here also as well. Amazon's Echo dominates the digital voice assistant market with 71% of its users using Echo over other devices. Reports surfaced last week that Amazon has quietly acquired a data startup in May to boost Alexa's search engines. The company has been beefing up its search presence to take on Google and Microsoft. Prime now is becoming a key destination for video distribution. If you guys know, if you have Prime, which I don't have Prime, if you do have Prime now, apparently, you can basically get free movie streaming or at least a huge amount of movies free via Prime, and then you have to buy other ones that are new ones. Also, too, cable subscriptions are dwindling and Prime subscriptions are rising. It's landing major live streaming deals like a $50 million Thursday night deal with the NFL, and it's offering resources and in some cases money to video publishers to distribute movies. BTIG media analyst Rich Greenfield said, think about around 2020, 2021, when NFL's Monday Night Football contract expires the end of 2021. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't believe anymore that Amazon Prime in the U.S. won't have more subscribers than ESPN. Currently, Amazon Prime has currently 79 million U.S. subscribers, while ESPN has 88 million. He goes on to say, so if Amazon wants Monday Night Football by 2021, it's theirs for the taking. These guys are exploding on this country, all over the place, in every single aspect of what we're doing. And the scary part about it is these guys are clearly in bed with the CIA, as we have seen on multiple, multiple deals and contracts that they've made with these guys. And it's kind of creepy, Dad, but these guys are expanding into everything from media advertisement to social media to basically studio films for Hollywood to now they're basically, people are projecting they're wanting to pick up Monday Night Football. This is definitely something that's going to be interesting to watch with Amazon. If the government doesn't come in and put a handle on what they're doing, they're going to end up owning almost every aspect of everything, essentially, in the country.
Well, it's because of the giant octopus squid of the Rothschild banking community, boys.
Yeah.
Girls, that's what they are. They're, what they're doing is they're basically, they're, who do you think is funding all of this stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, who gives these guys unlimited amounts of cash to do this stuff with? I mean, this is the CIA running. Remember, the CIA is running the whole thing, but above them is the Rothschild boys, the Sabbatean cabalists. That's who's doing this. They just print up more money. What do you think the $37 trillion went off of balance sheets that nobody wants to talk about? Or the $9 trillion that disappeared from the Pentagon budget that nobody knows where it is? I mean, it's all going to this kind of stuff. It's going to this underground shelters and basically, you know, the space-based weapon platform systems that we have all over the planet now. I mean, our attorney called us up today, or called, sent me a text today, Austin, and he said, you know, Ted, he goes, why don't you talk to your listeners about this? He goes, why in the world are we so concerned about North Korea sending a new missile system over a missile to the United States when we have these anti-ballistic missile systems that we can install in South Korea?
Yeah.
I mean, he said we can literally shoot down every missile they send up. And that's the antiquated technology we have. That's the 1930 and 40 V2 rocket technology that we have. Okay? This is not what we need right now. We have the ability to blow up every single thing on the launch pad with a doggone laser system before it ever gets off the mark, it gets out. Period. Done. It's just that easy. I mean, you know, it's not even an issue. And so it blows my mind is, again, this is more obfuscation because they're running heroin. They can't run heroin. We know that. Plus, they've got a lot of gold in their country, and we've got to have that gold. I mean, well, we don't have to have it. I don't really care about their gold, but the Rothschilds seem to really like gold. And apparently it's something that they need for their interdimensional masters to use. We have one man tell us one time they use it for their interdimensional transfers that they do when they go through space-time the way they do. They have to have gold for that. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. That's all speculation on my part. Sounds kind of weird to me, but who knows? Because they sure have to have this whole thing about gold for a long, long time, and they're not going to let anybody audit anything at the doggone Fort Knox system, the place where they're supposed to be storing the gold. By the way, Berlin is now calling for retaliation against the illegal U.S. sanctions on Russia, and I will say to Berlin, I can honestly say you're right about this one. But the problem is, what's Berlin going to do? They're shipping their Volkswagens over here. They're shipping their BMWs over here. They're shipping their Audis over here. They're shipping their Mercedes over here. Are they really going to jack the price up on those cars and have us all not buy any of these cars anymore in the United States and then turn around basically and lose a huge market share in the United States? Absolutely not. They're saber-rattling because they really don't know what to do, because I, quite frankly, don't know what to do with it either. I really hope that Trump vetoes it to the best of his ability. And just to let Berlin know that they've got their own set of problems they need to be worried about, Germany now has a Muslim biker gang. A Muslim biker gang. How about that? Like Hell's Angels. And they're vowing to protect fellow Muslims. Yeah, you can't even make this stuff up. This is by Tyler Durden. Of course, that's a pen name, but that they use it with zero heads. Muslim vigilantes are enforcing Islamic justice have become increasingly common in Germany. The government's inability or unwillingness to stop them has led to the rise of anti-Muslim counter-vigilantes. Germany's intelligence agency is the latest annual report warned that an escalating reaction cycle would result in open warfare on German streets. Now, did you hear what I just said? The intelligence agency in Germany, the BFV, is saying there could be open warfare on the German streets. The self-appointed Sharia police urge both Muslims and non-Muslims, passerbys, to attend mosques. Non-Muslims, too, remember, to attend mosques. And to refrain from alcohol, that's good. Cigarettes, that's good. Drugs, that's good. Gambling, that's good. Music, it's got to be pretty good music. Porn and prostitution. Okay, I believe in everything they just said to do that, except for the music. But I don't like the heathen music. In November 2016, the Wuppertal District Court ruled that the Islamists did not break German law and were simply exercising their right to free speech. the ruling, which effectively legitimized Sharia law in Germany, was one of a growing number of incidents in which German courts are unwittingly or wittingly promoting the establishment of a parallel Islamic legal system in the country. And he goes on to say, even if we still refuse to believe it, parts of Germany are ruled by Islamic law. Polygamy, child marriages, and Sharia judges. For far too long, the German rule of law has not been enforced. Many politicians dreamed of a multiculturalism. This is what they're getting. This is not a question of folklore, foreign countries, and traditions. It's a question of law and order. If the rule of law fails to establish its authority and demand respect for itself, then it can immediately declare its own bankruptcy. This is what's going on with this entire country in Germany right now. So now, German Muslims have established a self-styled biker gang modeled on the Hell's Angels, and they're aimed at protecting fellow Muslims from the ever-growing hatred of Islam, according to the magazine Die Welt, which means the world. The emergence of the group, which aspires to open chapters in cities and towns across Germany, has alarmed German authorities. Duh! Wake up! Okay? Muslim vigilantes enforcing Islamic justice have become increasingly common in Germany. The government's inability to stop them has led to a rise of anti-Muslim counter-vigilantes, and Germany's intelligence agency is warning everyone of what could happen. Guys, this is some crazy stuff. I mean, now we've got a Hell's Angels Muslim biker gang. That just doesn't sound right to me, okay? And, I mean, it just shows you kind of like, though, where their head's at. The Hell's Angels were never really remembered for doing anything good. I mean, these guys are like a bunch of drug runners and bad people, and now we have a group of Muslims who want to kind of emulate the Hell's Angels on their motorcycles and ride around like street vigilantes to support their fellow immigrants. I mean, you know, you really can't make this stuff up. Germany needs to get its head out of its proverbial sandbox. I said that very well, by the way, and make people realize that, you know, this is something they need to wake up to and change it pretty doggone quick. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, this is getting out of control. The fact that they're allowing a lot of this stuff to occur and these Sharia law police, and as you said, you know, some of the stuff they agree with as far as the drinking and the gambling and the drugs, I mean, yeah, that's definitely not something that's very healthy for any individual. But the problem with this is that you have these guys coming into a society and blatantly saying you're not allowed to do this with absolutely zero authority whatsoever. And it's not just they say it, they provide action behind it, very aggressive extremist action. When people don't listen to what they say, they make everybody pay for it, essentially. The Islam culture is very, very satanic at its basis. When you start doing some research on it and see exactly what they try to push, it's got some very, very sadistic. It really is. And these guys are taking over Germany. They really are. We've talked about it for years, and it's getting worse and worse. Now we're going to have a Muslim biker gang running around. That's just nothing good. That doesn't sound good in any way. Don't see a positive aspect of this whatsoever coming out of it. And, you know, you've seen a lot of the neo-Nazi skinheads reemerge in Germany and Berlin now. And a lot of it's because they're sick of this. They really are. And I'm not justifying a lot of the stuff that they do either, but it is their country. Last time I checked, they're actually born there. They're German citizens. All these weirdos that are coming in there by the hundreds of thousands that are getting free housing,
millions.
Free food, free everything. Yeah, millions now. Excuse me. That was an error. I lost a zero or two off there. That's where this is going. And the more they allow these guys to pour in, the more they allow them to do what they want, and they don't get these guys under control with the iron fist, this is exactly what's going to happen. It's going to escalate further and further and further, and it really seems as if either the German government and or the police force absolutely have no interest in trying to stop this, almost as either they're scared or they've been told from higher ups that they aren't allowed to do anything about it. Because from pretty much what I've been reading on here, these guys, if they get busted for anything, they get like a slap on the wrist, and it's like, oh, you're Muslim, okay, we're going to fine you or give you 30 days in jail, and that's about the extent of what they have done. We've even talked in detail about some of the court cases where these guys have raped girls, like young girls, like 12, 13, 14-year-old girls, and in some cases had all the charges dropped, or they get fined like $2,000, or they go to jail for 60 days, but nobody gets deported, nobody goes to prison for 10, 15, 20 years, none of that at all. It's so you're taking individuals that in their law, in their culture, when they do something wrong, they lose a hand or they get beheaded. Just, okay, that's a pretty big deterrent right there to this new country now where they can literally operate in almost any fashion they want, do anything they want, and it's like, oh, we're going to throw you in jail for 60 days. Or we're going to fine you €2,000. And the ironic part about that is they're getting money from the government for free. So the government's giving them money to live there, to eat there, to breathe there, and then turning around and fining them money that they have to pay back. So, I mean, there's really no deterrent at all to not engage in that type of behavior, Deb.
No, you know, none of this makes any sense. Of course...
No,
that's why we started the show, because it just got to the point where I couldn't believe what I was seeing and reading. And so I thought, you know, we've got to be a voice standing in there for God, standing in there for Yeshua, and doing what needs to be done right. By the way, the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, has told his players now, either you stand for the anthem of the United States of America or you're off the team. So my kudos to Jerry Jones for sticking up for that. He wants everybody very, very clear that it will not be allowed whatsoever. And said, he said it a little bit different than that. He used a cuss word. He said, you'll get your blank off the team if you take a knee, and that they're not going to tolerate this because of what Colin Kaepernick did. And the thing about it is I understand that, you know, a lot of people may not agree with everything the United States is doing. I got that. And if you get to the point where you really start to hate the country and you don't want to try to change it like we're trying to do here on this show, and you want to leave, I got that too. But sitting there and taking a knee with the national anthem and stuff like that, you know, that just goes against everything that the country's done right. I mean, this country's done a lot of stuff right over the last 200 years. Now, don't get me wrong, we've done a lot of stuff wrong too, but we've done a lot of stuff right. And we've really helped the world a lot. And we've had a lot of missionaries go out. We've had a lot of other people go out. We've had a lot of foreign aid go out. Because remember, back before the Federal Reserve System decided to enslave us, the United States was the largest lender in the world, the largest creditor nation in the world, because we were so willing to help other countries. And now we're the largest debtor nation in the world because of what they've done to us with their Babylonian money magic. So, you know, we can't just say the United States is all bad. I don't believe that. But I do believe that if we don't change it pretty quickly, we're on a slippery slope of Genesis chapter 6 for the entire planet. Not just the United States. What do you think?
No, you're exactly right. That's where it's headed with all this, and I mean that's pretty much the overall goal of it. Also, too, because everybody keeps talking about how these countries need to keep taking in more migrants from Syria because of this and that. Well, new figures just got released today. I just got the article on it that basically just 1.4% of the migrants arriving in Italy are Syrian refugees right now. They went on to say here that over 20% of the asylum seekers were from Nigeria, over another 10% were from Bangladesh, another almost 10% were from Pakistan, another 8% were from Gambia, and none of these countries are in any significant war right now. And so they're saying that the refugees that are coming out of Syria, it's only a very, very small percentage, and a lot of these guys are just coming there as economic migrants to get basically free stuff and be able to get as much as they want from these countries and mooch off of them. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, it's kind of sad, but when you open your doors and say everybody can come in from every country you want and will basically pay you to live here for free, that to me, you know, there's been a lot of other ulterior motives behind that, as we're seeing now, and a lot of it's to destabilize these countries, Dad, so they can cause a giant ruckus in civil war, as now they're already proclaiming, as you just said with Berlin, maybe a civil war with these bikers. They're trying to get everybody ready for this and get everybody mentally acceptant of this war. That way they can come together after the rubble and the ash just drop and proclaim a new world order. That's the overall goal. So we have to do the best we can to try to prevent that as long as possible if we can.
Well, you know, the whole thing with Merkel's thing is she had to repopulate Germany because of the fact that they weren't reproducing quickly enough. That's because of the massive amount of just absolute trash propaganda they have to listen to on their TV all the time. And also, remember this, guys, a lot of Czechoslovakia was basically German because they were seized after the war with a lot of German citizens behind the borders. Same thing with Poland. I mean, if Merkel really wanted to repopulate Germany, she could have said to the people in Czechoslovakia or in Poland, she could have said, come on over, we're going to give you housing, we're going to give you education, and you guys are primarily, you know, Greek Orthodox Christians, and, you know, and we're going to bring you into our countries, and we're going to let you basically assimilate because we need you from a population standpoint. And she could have brought people into her country that would not be coming from Bangladesh. Does anything good come out of Bangladesh? I mean, really? I mean, so she's got a major problem. I mean, think about that for a second. Bangladesh. I mean, I've never heard anything good about Bangladesh. And but she didn't even think through that. I mean, that's a lie. Again, remember we talked about it, this is cultural war. This is what this is. They couldn't take us down economically, so now they got to do it from a cultural standpoint. They have to basically infiltrate us from the inside out. And that's what they're doing. Guys, I want to thank you for listening to the show tonight. I appreciate you guys. I love you, too. I really do. And you guys are awesome. You got the best listeners in the world. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We've got the chewable multiples now and the capsule multiples and the powder multiple, which is the one I really like. And they're all good. I like that powder because it goes right up to a smoothie. You don't even taste it. You have to swallow more pills. I love it. So, guys, thank you so much for doing that for us. And for being here for us, and for praying for us too, and for listening. God bless you from Greece. I'll be home on Friday. I appreciate you guys so much. I'll be live with you again tomorrow night. Austin, I'll talk to you then. Go ahead and write the summary, and we'll talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Absolutely, bud. We appreciate it. Yes, guys, thank you for everything. Thank you for the support. And we got a lot of you guys have been ordering the purple sticks. We got a small batch coming in from the supplier that came in today, and another one coming in tomorrow. They've been out of stock off and on. We ran that sale on them as product of the week. You guys bought them out. We had a brand new methylcobalamin B12 batch getting run. Should be done here in the next couple weeks. So we got a pre-batch of some old, an older batch that we had left that we were holding over. So anybody that's got purple sticks, the order's been delayed a couple days. I apologize about that. But they are going out. You will be getting them. The rest of them will all be shipped out this week. And in about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to have a brand new fresh batch with a couple pallets coming in. So that will keep everybody going for a while there. And, of course, guys, if you need anything, check us out, healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out our Maximum Health Kits with our Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit, the Alpha Male Stack, which has been a very, very popular stack at boosting testosterone and increasing energy and moderating estrogen levels in the body. And if you guys need anything, email us at the contact form at the top. And you can also call us at 1-800-726-1834. And the Super Potent E is on sale. The last day it's going to be on sale. Whatever is winning will be changed over tomorrow for product of the week. So be sure if you want to get that Super E, grab it today. That's our mixed tocopherol vitamin E. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for the support. You guys have a blessed, safe night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.